scant 300 years old, is of little concern.
Pray tell, Atalantia, do you truly believe the support of the air will make us forget our deed to this planet? No, no, precocious as you are not the only one with an army. You are first among equals, but that does not make you our sovereign, nor will it ever.
Atalantia smiles at him. If I mistook that for a threat, Scorpio, I might insist you have Atlas over for a midnight tea. I know you can invite your lovely children, Cicero, Portia, Ovidius, Horatia. Why not just invite the whole lot? Atlas's name has a chilling effect on the room, but it goes deeper than their fear of just that man. In an era in which these primacies have witnessed the extinction of genetic lines as old as their own, threats to family do not just endanger the heart, but the survival of their ancient names.
Of course, I am no sovereign, Atalantia says, sharp as a tack now. What need have I of grovelling sycophants, or the burden of planetary management? My province is war, my good man, only war. In it I have proven myself your superior, and enjoy your confidence in its prosecution.
None disagree, not even Falf, and he's seen as many battles as the Reaper himself.
This pertains to war, and I say this is Lysander, and this is the first time I have seen him in 10 long years. Yet I am generous enough to share him with you. Why? Because I value your opinions? But if it is accusations you seek to levy at me, well, that would be disappointing.
Silence. Ajax looms behind Atalantia like an unshaken fist. Atlas, like an unseen one. Yet for all that menace, the Golds know Atalantia could only kill them at gravest cost to herself. And it is not in the nature of those who rule planets to tuck their tails, nor do they. However, Scorpio's reply is markedly more judicious.
Lysander Auloon was in the Dragon Maw when it fell. Since he is here, one wonders how he survived. How do we know he is not an agent of the Rising? He may not even know himself. I know I need not remind you of the ruthlessness of our enemy, or that you no longer hold the monopoly on certain technologies.
I am willing to accept that he is Lysander,
purrs Asmodeus Aucathiae.
Scorpio is just a paranoid arachnid.
As Atalantia's strongest ally, Asmodeus will seek to support her, at my cost. He looks the same since I saw him last, drunk in the gardens of the Palatine with drugged young pinks on each arm. Though well over 100, the eerie creature has the tanned, unnatural face of a 40-year-old, the blue veins of age rejuvenation, no doubt covered by concealer. The Carthiae, while always dear to Atalantia, are the very worst of the corps. I let him spill his poison, but remember to look out for the more dire variety.
We all know that Bellona just barely escaped Gorgo and his assassins on Ceres not 3 years ago, Asmodeus says. The beast reported a sprightly catamite nipping at Bellona's heels.
The famous lech gazes at me in the same hungry way he did when I was a boy.
I believe we now know the identity of that catamite.
Kalindora laughs and slaps her armored thigh.
You old pervert!
You sure that wasn't a dream of yours?
Ajax snorts a surprised laugh. Asmodeus looks irritated but does not interrupt the soldier.
Neither Lysander nor the traitor would so debase themselves.
She gives me a wink.
But maybe we should ask the man himself. I suppose he may have some information on the subject, no? When I was a boy, Kalindora served on my protection unit before rising to the rank of Olympic knight. I see she's not lost her touch. Honored primacies, I say, loud and clear. I apologize for my tardiness to the war, but I fear I must clarify my absence. I was not kept prisoner of the Republic, nor was I Cassius's catamite. After the murders of Arja and Octavia, Darrow gave me to Cassius as a ward after he killed my grandmother. It was with him that I have spent these last 10 years in the belt. It was not exactly the reply Kalindora had in mind. Instead of diffusing the golds, it sends them into amazed laughter. Atalantia's eyes widen slightly, while Ajax turns very slowly to face me.
Ward?
Yes. He goes silent, knowing better than to air our dirty laundry before the others. So he's learned discretion. Perhaps I should have tried that instead of honesty. But it all would have come out eventually. Diomedes may be honorable, but if his duty required him to drop this bomb to gain leverage in the negotiations, he'd do it without flinching. Seraphina might tell them just for fun. The arch-traitor of my people raised me just as long as our dead sovereign did. While they might spit at me, it has a corrosive effect on their condescension. Bellona's blood was as old as theirs, and he was a very dangerous man. What did he help raise?
Well, that is truly abhorrent, Atalantia says with a whistle. But from what your communique relayed, we are to believe Cassius is dead?
Yes. She and Ajax share an intense look.
Good. We will take custody of the body so that his mother may honor it with son death, if she so chooses.
I do not have the body. Atalantia's eyebrows float upward, and around her neck Hypatia begins to slither counterclockwise in agitation.
Why not?
The body was stolen and desecrated by familiars of Bellerophon Aura, whom Cassius killed.
Desecrated in what manner?
I do not. Asmodeus hijacks the conversation with a cackle. His jewel rings sparkle as he plays with his smooth chin.
Gone for a decade, ward to Bellona, no care to return. But now that you see a vacuum in power, you rush back like an eager little piglet to claim your throne. We have our leader, foul boy. Her name is Atalantia.
I did not return to claim anything, I say. I have no scar, no inheritance, no right. I have come only to heal the divide that created the rising. I look to Atalantia. If I may. She nods.
This will be fun.
The doors open, and Diomedes and Seraphina are ushered through. Animosity floods the room. I step back, allowing Diomedes the floor. Seraphina broods at his side.
By Jove, Atalantia mutters, dour as a cloud, pale as a corpse. Is that a Ra, or the spirit of Akari himself?
He's far less talkative, Ajax says.
Salve, Oriat.
Diomedes dips his head in respect.
I stand Diomedes Aura, son of Romulus and Dido, Storm Knight of the Rim Dominion, Taxiarchos of the Lightning Phalanx.
Ooh, what's that? Atalantia asks.
Diomedes is caught off guard.
A specialized mobile legion.
Aren't all legions mobile? Or do you have new flight hardware?
He blinks at the pivot, then clears his throat.
This is my sister Seraphina, Locagos of the 11th Dustwalkers.
He waits for another interruption.
Go on, Atalantia encourages. You're doing splendidly, young man.
It is our duty to bring you the tidings of the Moon Council and the consuls Dido Aura and Helios Aulux. They have given us the Dominion Seal.
He lifts his fist to show a huge iron gauntlet implanted with rotating stones.
I am authorized to engage in parley with intent to find an agreeable and lasting truce between the Rim Dominion and the Society Remnant in order to counter the disease of democracy.
There's stunned silence.
I'll be damned, Scorpio mutters. It is true.
Asmodeus cackles in disbelief.
Dido Al Saud, a consul?
Impossible. Those heathens despise civilized company. Prithee, has Romulus gone mad?
Secretly, he is worried. Dido betrayed her family by marrying Ara. If she were to ally the Rim with Saud, oh dear, his predominancy on Venus may be threatened. Kalindora seems to enjoy Asmodeus's vexation.
Asmodeus, please, desist, Atalantia says.
She turns back to Diomedes.
Well, you certainly have your father's presence. But tell me, why is Romulus the Bold no longer sovereign? Did he grow weary of pontificating? Atlas won't believe it.
Our father is dead,
Seraphina replies. I did not include that in my communique. No one speaks until Atalantia raises a hand, like a pupil.
Dead?
Diomedes nods.
Under an oath of truth, he revealed that he knew the destruction of the Ganymede dockyards was perpetrated by Darrow of Lycos and Victra Au Julii, not Roque Au Fabii.
Darrow did that?
Atalantia laughs and claps her hands together. Hypatia's tongue licks outward at her mistress's delight.
Father was right. I knew it wasn't Fabii.
Darrow, 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 that mischievous little cockroach. I'm almost proud of him.
One trick too far, it seems.
Well, we've all been there. But Romulus dead.
Dead?
I did not think Romulus could die. Tell me, how did he go? Civil war? Assassination? Or did your mother finally eat him right up?
After admitting his deceit and his slaughter of white arbiters, there was only one way to reclaim his honor,
Diomedes explains.
He walked Akari's path to the dragon tomb and succumbed to the elements.
They stare at him, like he's gone raving mad.
Did he reach it? Ajax asks.
Diomedes swallows.
No.
Then, as one, they begin to laugh. It fills me with loathing to see their disrespect for the man I admired, nearly as much as I admired Cassius. Seraphina looks like she would draw her razor if she had one. Only Diomedes stands unmoved. He's learned from his little talk with Ajax, and he's learning what to expect from the rest of them. My respect for the man grows, as does Kalindora's, it seems.
There is your monster in the shadows, waiting to strike at Venus, Asmodeus,
Atalantia laughs.
All that fretting over a delusional suicide. Why, I dare say we shan't ever need bring the fight to the Rim, if we can just get them to all lie to one another. Their honour will take care of the rest.
Romulus was an iron gold, I say. Honourable by any measure. Several steps short, it seems,
Ajax corrects.
He deserves your respect, I snap. Or at the very least, the courtesy of not laughing before his progeny.
The militant Falth finally breaks his silence.
I will not be lectured about honour by a scarless boy, no matter his name. I was at Ilium, young man. Romulus slew my sister. He drew his blade across her belly until her spine cut down the middle. Until you have fought these woe-begone ruminants in a corridor, you know nothing.
You ask us to respect Romulus, Lysander? Atalantia asks. Respect for a man whose honour outweighed the common good. Respect for the fool whose very rebellion allowed for the Reaper to rise. Respect for the traitor who fought side by side with the slave hordes at Ilium, who forsook his duty so terribly that even his own brother could not stand at his side. She wags a slender finger at me. I think you're still lost, Lysander. Or are you as mad as them? What do you think, nephew?
Ajax tongues his teeth in contemplation.
He doesn't look mad.
So you're not mad, Atalantia says.
She comes nose to nose with me, her tone warm and confiding.
Then what are you? Confused? Did they torture you?
Her eyes flick to Diomedes and Seraphina.
Was it the brute or the dusty little mouse? We'll peel them apart, if you like. Put them on one of Atlas's poles.
You need an ally to tip the scales. She frowns.
No. All I needed was Imperium. For years, Father kept me on a leash as he waged his conventional retreat. Apologies. War. For a hybrid foe, you need a hybrid warrior. I have turned the tide, Lysander. My agents spread poison in the enemy's citadel. Atlas spreads it to the cradle of their birth. Soon the rabble will slaughter one another. We need no traitors here. We are upon the cusp of victory.
I search their faces and find nothing but arrogant isolation. Each is barricaded behind their own power and prejudice. It is warranted. Some recall relatives lost in the Rim's two rebellions. Many believe in the cultural superiority of the Corps. But all remember the taxes the Rim's rebellions cost them. They cannot stand to admit the Rim would be helpful, so they must be humbled first. It would be far easier had I battles to my name, legions at my call, a scar on my face. But the tools I do possess are not exactly toothless. Perhaps you are right. Perhaps you do not need the Rim, but, Atalantia turns on me with a warning look, if you have all you need, then why are there so many ships still damaged by the Battle of Caliban? I ask. Orion did not go down without a fight. Why not send the crippled ships back to the dockyards of Venus? A retrofit. I look around innocently. No one answers. Unless there is some reason you cannot. Perhaps the Minotaur did more than kill Magnus after he was freed by Darrow. Did he, by chance, take the dockyards while he was on Venus?
You little scheming weasel, Asmodeus cries. How could he possibly know that?
How many ships did the Minotaur take? I press. All that were in dock? Clearly this play against the Free Legions is a trap, to lure the Republic fleets, draw their main might and sneak around to raise their planets, but without support from Venus. You can't sail on Mars or Luna. The jaws of the trap are set, but your foot is in it too.
Lysander, please. Enough showing off, Atalantia says.
After the Minotaur's capture, many of his men must have gone over to you, Atalantia. How many swell to his banner now? How many ships have slipped away? Apollonius was a popular man, and it would make a curious mind wonder why he would be so eager to kill Magnus. Perhaps he was betrayed, given over to the enemy. They look at me as if I have suddenly grown fangs. I may not know the rules of the Rim, but I know the Corps. And I was right. Apollonius was betrayed, likely because of his popularity.
I feel a sense of loneliness. These are the people who Cassius thought would send assassins for him. The ones he judged so much worse than the Rising, that he gave his life to ensure they never won this war. If they do not even agree to entertain the idea of allying with the Rim, then he died for nothing. My good men, you are mid-stride into a campaign, one which I assume was intended to be an unrelenting advance. But without lifting a finger, Darrow has cut off your back foot. Without your docks and reinforcements, you are unable to go forward or backward. I offer you an ally 10 years fresh, one with no claim, nor desire, nor manpower to rule your spheres. They have been spit upon, and they have come for satisfaction. Refuse them if you must. It is your choice to make, not mine.
The crickets by the fountain carry the conversation. Ajax is the first to speak.
If we destroy the free legions as they strike the belt bastions and the dockyards of Phobos, the trauma to the Republic would be absolute. Lysander's argument is not without virtue, nor does it detract from our imminent endeavor.
I know his argument has virtue, Atalantia snaps. It's obvious to a genital wart it has virtue. I just hate moonies.
Her fingers trace Hypatia's scales as she thinks.
I will be terribly honest, young Diomedes. I don't think it wise to dance with venomous creatures I didn't nurture as pups. But you did not kill my father, did you? Nor Octavia, for that matter, nor Aja, nor Moira. Murdering you would be to court Quagmire, and there are so many others you can help me kill. Answer me this. Your docks were destroyed, yet somehow you found a way to build new ships, like that curious corvette in my hangar. No, I will not dissect it, because it will likely detonate if I do. Yes?
Diomedes shrugs.
Clearly you have an energy source to make war feasible, even though the termites have made Mars an impregnable bastion. How? Are you using foil caraval to skim helium from the gas giants?
She bares her teeth.
I know Atlas would know if you dared mine the Kuiper.
Diomedes remains motionless as Atalantia's queries multiply.
How many warships does the Rim possess? How many legions? These are things I need to know.
Diomedes is amused. She thinks he would ever tell her.
In the event of an alliance, any tasks given to the Rim necessary to the agreed-upon strategy will be fulfilled. That is all I will say.
Oh, to be young and think you know how things are done, she says to the Primuses. These are not injurious queries, Diomedes. If you don't know how strong you are, why would I choose you for a dancing partner, young man?
Because all others are taken, and the song creeps upon crescendo.
Atalantia watches him with a growing smile.
Wait till Atlas sees you. She sighs. There you have it, good men, the ugly truth. To the boudoir we go again with our ugly cousins.
Carthiae tries to interrupt.
I am dictator, Asmodeus. My war powers are absolute. To protect our predominance tomorrow, we must make concessions to pragmatism today.
Only after Atalantia assures the Primuses they will have a hand in crafting the treaty after their imminent endeavour do their holograms disappear one by one. It is not done. There will be weeks of negotiations. Neither side will budge, and eventually they will both leave, feeling cheated. But the alliance will happen. What's more, I believe Atalantia wanted it to happen as soon as she heard it was a possibility. She does not celebrate, but in her mind she has just won this war and now has an angle on the next. First the rising, then the rim. I feel suddenly very heavy, wondering how I will manage to convince her not to turn on the Ra as soon as she sees profit in it. One of Atalantia's muscular male slaves brings her a piece of bread on a platter. She breaks several pieces to share with the Ra. Once they have eaten, they are formally her guests, and under Jen's grimmest protection. Whoever means them harm is her enemy. It is a formality that actually bears weight, as it did for our ancestors. Atalantia can hardly accommodate another enemy at this stage.
"We will begin discussion tomorrow, atop the water colossus of Tyche," Atalantia says.
The Ra look at each other, then at the planet below.
"Today, however, I require a demonstration of good faith."
She snaps her fingers, and a hologram of Mercury 3 stories tall fills the star globe. It is stained with markers for known enemy strongholds and legions, and wrapped with thousands of dropship and starshell trajectories. I knew something was afoot by the battle readiness within the Anihilo, but I did not expect this. So it will be an iron rain. It is a risky and declarative gamble that could prove very expensive, so either Atalantia is swollen with confidence, or she thinks her window is closing. I suspect I know where Atlas is now. Diomedes takes in the battle plan and frowns.
"Our instruments suggested the planet was shielded by a fortified land chain of shield generators."
"All suitable landfalls, yes," Atalantia says. "For now?"
"But how will you?"
She smiles.
"Do you think Atlas returned from his Kuiper sojourn just to tan in the desert? We have over 9 million Martian slaves trapped. I broke Darrow's armada. I broke Darrow's heart. Now I break his back. If we kill him and destroy the legions here, we shatter the alliance between Mars and Luna. Virginia will see her little rebellion split right down the center."
"And you need the tank factories of Heliopolis, and your dockyards need Mercury's metal to further your campaign," Diomedes adds.
"It has been a long war," she allows. "You say you wish to fight with us at the end, Ra?"
Here it comes, the proverbial snake bite.
"Prove it. Fall with us in an iron rain, shed blood at my side, and I will know I have a true ally."
The silence grows as Diomedes considers.
"I am sorry, but I cannot."
"Of course not," Ajax says with a laugh. "The Sword of Io is best in its sheath."
"I was trusted to be a voice, not a sword. It is impossible."
Atalantia raises her eyebrows, dangling the bait.
"A pity. I saw such promise in our union. But how can I trust an ally tomorrow who will not fight with me today? Ajax, please escort them to their ship and send them back to their dust bowl."
I watch Kalindora as Seraphina thinks. Is Kalindora like the rest of these predators? Enjoying the hunt, watching for the takedown. Her face remains the same, but her eyes search the shadows cast by Atalantia's braziers as Seraphina steps forward.
"I will do it."
Her brother wheels on her, overestimating yet again the patience of the women in his family.
"You are the voice of the Rim, Diomedes. I am here only to assist you in your mission. If I die, what of it?"
She holds one hand over the other hand, in her family's private way of saying shadows and dust.
"You desire a quota of blood, Grimace? You may have all of mine. Does that satisfy?"
Atalantia smiles.
"It satisfies."
As Diomedes realizes his sister will fall amidst an army of men who would proudly mount the head of his father among their mantles, he grows very still. I feel for him, But after seeing Seraphina amongst the Ascomani, if anyone can survive their first reign, it is her. Diomedes gives me a dark look as he and his sister are ushered toward the door by Ashguards. Atalantia nods for Kalindora to leave. I am left alone with her and Ajax to watch the door close. Atalantia drifts to the viewport to stare down at the planet. She will be wondering what machinations move in Darrow's mind. I wonder the same.
Ward,
Ajax says suddenly. I expected his anger, but that did not diminish my dread of it. He moves with the sort of staggering velocity that is impossible in the low gravity of the rim. His fist cracks against my jaw so fast, only the Willoway's instinct to go with the blow saves me from having my jaw shattered and my neck fractured. I slam into the ground nonetheless.
Ward! He roars.
Atalantia doesn't even watch the reflection of the violence in the viewport. I lift a hand toward Ajax. Lovely as he was as a child, his moods could switch at the drop of a pin. It's far more noticeable now.
Ajax, that Bellona cunt killed my mother,
he growls, stepping on my groin.
She was more a mother to you than your own, you cockless cur.
Yes, she was,
I wheeze.
And yet you tagged at Bellona's heels for 10 years. 10 fucking years.
I had few alternatives.
You could have returned to us. To me, brother.
I am sorry, Ajax. I should have, but...
He pushes down harder, causing nausea to cascade up my belly and my lower back to ache.
I was afraid.
He's horrified by the admission and almost takes his boot off me completely.
Of what? Us?
Not you, Ajax. Never you. Of court. Of gold. Eating gold.
I try to stand, but he pushes me back down, more gently this time.
You think I enjoyed seeing Aja cut the ribbons? You think it meant nothing seeing Octavia hewn from groin to stern? You think I did not see how we did the rising to ourselves? The Jackal, Fitchner, Cassius, the Martian feud, all symptoms of the same disease. I wanted no part of it.
That he understands. As children, we mocked all the scheming snakes of the court. Only Atalantia ever made it look good anyway, and she did it for laughs. Moira was pure in her obsession for truth, Aja pure in her duty to grandmother, Lorne pure in his honour. Even Darrow was pure in his then inexplicable lust to win. Those were the people we admired, not the snakes.
Then why return now? Atalantia asks.
She senses, but cannot identify the private understanding Ajax and I share. Is she jealous of it? Or suspicious? Either way, she turns from the viewport.
Because I believe it can be different, I say. The Rising has shown itself incapable of rule.
While there were injustices in Octavia's time, there were not 200 million dead.
250?
Atalantia says.
We hid a famine on Venus.
That the death of so many could be unknown staggers me. It may not have been perfect, but it wasn't this, I say.
I believe if we quell the Rising, we have a chance to fix what was broken not just by them, but by us.
Gods, Ajax mutters. He hasn't changed a damn bit.
Told you,
Atalantia replies. Ajax hauls me up by my jacket.
Still wants to be Marcus Aurelius, I suppose.
He leans close, his voice confiding.
The fact is, my mother spoke for Cassius. You remember, when Octavia questioned his loyalty, my mother begged her to give him a chance. She saw Lorne in his heart, I wager, and he showed his gratitude by feeding her to the wolves. I know you rationalized it away, because you think your emotions are secondary programs or something,
But look at what I am, what I have become.
He gestures to the kill marks, his dented armor, the double thick grey razor on his hip.
Do you think I became this for pleasure?
We understand the war inside you, Lysander. We always have, Atalantia says. But that does not change that this is not the return you should have had. Not for you, not for us,
not with them.
You squandered yourself. You could have come back a god. Think how I could have used that. Think how your high-minded dream could have benefited from that.
She sighs and lifts her hand like an opera singer.
Of course the legions will rejoice at your return, if used properly. The return of the heir of Selenius could still inspire the worlds. I hear the songs even now. But you have much to prove. People will wonder, not me, but others, if you are not a lackey of the Rim.
She flings her hands about.
Is he perhaps the traitor's trained monkey? Perhaps even the slave king's puppet? They will wonder, is Lysander really an iron gold?
Ajax takes offense on my behalf. He may be an egregiously pretentious quizby, but he's no puppet of the slave.
She cuts him off with a look.
Until the answers are incontrovertible, I fear I cannot allow your return to become known, Lysander.
She makes it seem like it's for my own good, and succeeds, almost. I go very quiet inside, recognizing Selenius's stiletto when I see it. My path will grow very narrow very quickly, and it will certainly cut my feet. There is only one way forward. I did not come back to be her rival, and so long as I do not have a scar, I could never be. But if I survive what she asks, by the traditions that have guided my people since Selenius, I will earn a scar, and my inheritance at great cost to her own strength. The other gold families will choose a side if they see but the tiniest crack of daylight between us. She knows that. This is a sign of trust. She could do with my support.
Or it is a trap.
I cannot believe that. I will not. Atalantia was there the day I was born. She was the first to set me upon a horse. What she offers is an opportunity to shepherd the alliance and take back the mantle of justice from the rising. But to do that, I must take the leap. I bend again on my knee. I was a fool declaring myself an iron gold to Dido, and I feel a fool now. Dictator, I ask your leave for House Loon to fall in the iron rain.
Oh, he's going to pop his cherry, Ajax purrs.
Atalantia's smile is incandescent.
Granted, son of Luna.
She pulls me to my feet and kisses me softly on the mouth. Ice, guilty excitement, and bewilderment race through my veins as she lingers there, her mouth open, lips wrapped around mine longer than appropriate, even by Venusian standards. When she pulls back, she stares at me in pride.
My little Lysander, today you will earn your scar, I have no doubts.
Ajax has grown quiet.
With whom will he fall?
Still a little bewildered, I nod to him.
With you, brother, if you will have me.
He considers for a moment, suddenly very internal, and then nods.
About gory time. With a good scar, maybe you will look less like a pink harlot.
With a melancholy smile, Atalantia takes our hands and guides us to the family mural. It is oddly stirring to stand before what we considered our family. I remember the day we all posed for Glerastes. Atalantia had six pinks fanning her with peacock feathers. My father teased her mercilessly and apparently farted in her general direction. Atlas even cracked a smile. I see him up there,
a one man leaning on the far end of the frame beside Aja and chubby little Ajax. He's smiling at my father, likely because of the fart. I cannot see my mother. Her face is hidden behind a veil of grey paint.
Octavia, Aja, Moira, Anastasia, Brutus, my father, all gone,
Atalantia whispers. She grips our hands as if she never wanted to let them go.
Only we and Atlas remain, but where there were three, there are now four. Let the slaves tremble.
She pauses, then she rips her hands away from ours, as if we were the ones who pulled us all together.
Right, well, off to war now, boys. I'll meet you in Tyche.
She smiles at Ajax.
Or somewhere a bit warmer.
Chapter 7. Darrow. The Calm. The sun hangs low and swollen over the desert as I roar out the garage ramp. More engines whine behind me as Rona and 20 bodyguards follow. Guided by Colloway, fist-sized drones careen through the sky to feed data into my helmet. They sight grav bike signatures, winding through the sand like rectilinear snake tracks. In their troughs are small depressions, telltale sign of Gorgon skipper boots. Skip trace, I say. Stick tight. We abandon the tracks and push toward a string of axe-blade mountains. Following Alexander's coordinates, we ditch the bikes at the base of the mountains and use our grav boots to scale the escarpments, careful to not fly too high for fear of ground-to-air missiles. In short order, we find Alexander sitting with his helmet off in the shadows of an arroyo. He wears lizard-skin light armor, thinner and more sustainable long-term in the desert than my pulse armor. His looks to be held together more by field patches and dirt than nanofiber. Only his iron lancer badge, a sword against a flying Pegasus, is clean. 4 weeks tracking the Fear Knight with Thraxa seemed to have worn him down to his essential elements. He's even thinner and taller than his grandfather. His sunburnt skin is drawn tight and flakes around patrician cheekbones. On his neck, a wretched scab weeps pus. His warhawk is smashed flat and dark with helmet sweat. He looks up as we scramble down. I recall my helmet into its catch and wince at the heat, squinting hard until I step into the shadows where it is 50 degrees cooler. Alexander bolts to his feet. Beneath his chrome desert contacts, his eyes are haunted. Bloody hell, just sprawled out fury maker, Rona says, a multi-rifle on her shoulder. Her eyes scan the rocks. Fear Knight's gonna gut you while you have your picnic, princess. His face is too haunted to feign a smile. We have pathfinders. She half lowers her rifle. You look a ghost. You prime. Not long ago, he would have bitten her head clean off with a classist retort. Now he stares at her, as if trying to remember who she is. What has he seen out here? Thraxa is this way, sir. I find Thraxa lying belly down on a ridge overlooking a plain stretching from the mountains to Angelia. She props herself up on her elbows. One is made of flesh. The other is unpolished asteroid metal, etched with obsidian runes by Valdir Unshorn, Sephi's mate, after Thraxa saved his life in the running skirmishes over the Bay of Bengal. The mountain ridge is littered with boulders and spiked ephedra, but empty of howlers. I toggle my right ocular implant. Throbbing red embers from the quantum ID dots in their skulls fleck the ridgeline. Sevro's little monsters. They don't feel whole without him. The army may miss its mascot, but the pack misses its big brother. I've been too much a distant father of late. Reap, the large Telemannus acknowledges me without looking. A wolf cloak has taken on the color of the desert, thanks to its chameleon properties. The two obsidian pathfinders move for me, and I crawl even with her as my own cloak turns brown. Thraxa squints through a pair of optics. Freckles form a mask over her face. She hands me her optic set. Knowing what I'll see, I put the optics to my eyes. An all-too-familiar forest has been erected in front of the city. I feel nothing. But then again, I don't smell it yet. He did this while you slept, I ask. He would have needed hours. I shit the pot, Thraxa mutters. I lower the optics. We lost him in the Buonides range when he left the shield shattered to cross a Death Valley. She means the narrow gaps exposed to Atalantia's guns between our shield chain. I told you not to let him out of your sight. The valley was too exposed. We had drones, and I sent a man. By the time we found his trail, he'd abandoned his course for Eleusis and had already reached Angelia. The wrong city. She swats pointlessly at a skrill on her neck. More of the two-headed bloodsuckers make homes in her wolf cloak. And your man lost them. Which? Alexander. I can't hide my surprise. How? He crashed his bike into a hoodoo, fell asleep at the stick. One is none. Two is one, Thraxa. We were 140 hours without sleep. Even with the Nazopran, the lows were hallucinating. Had to rest him in the cargo bins as we rode. Even the greys. Goals were barely upright. Had to run solo. Alex is the best soldier I've ever seen at his age, including you. Still, she spits in the dirt. We're all blood and bone. I pushed them too hard. I thought Alex invulnerable. We all did. But even with the proper gear, this desert eats men. Where is Atlas now? Gone. Tracks lead north, bearing for Angelia. She nods to the fair knight's display before the city. Should I call medships? No. He came here for a reason, and it wasn't a torture. Get him ready. We're pushing in. She rallies the howlers as I raise my helmet and hail Orion. She's only just made it back to Blue Reach 1. Trouble? She asks. Is there a way to spool up the storm gods without showing our hand? The black slag you think these things are. They aren't a grunt's hair trigger. We can't cool as fast as we can heat. Once we ramp it up, it's a runaway to primary horizon. What's the lag on cloud coverage? I'm told soon as the pressure systems activate, an hour. Electrical in two. What happened? Unclear. Orders? I hesitate. If it's activated too early, Atalantia will notice the unnatural nature of the storm and call off the invasion. Activated too late, the storm won't matter. Watch how a pit viper strikes, my son, Father said once, as he clutched my wrist and made me play his game. Watch it coil upward and upward till it reaches its crest. Don't move before then. Don't strike out with your sling blade. If you do, then it'll get you. Move just when it's coming down. I look down at the city the Fear Knight killed. Initiate Operation Tartarus. Give me a storm.
Chapter 8. Lysander. The Machine.
You're going to die, Pyfer says. It is easy to believe her. To be ingested by the military machine is to see the last hidden gear of the world. All is loud, yet lonely. Chaos, yet order. Functional, yet dirty. Fast, yet slow. All is big, except you. I am thrust into an assembly line of muscled predators. There is little jocularity amongst the lines of golds as they are given injections for Mercurian diseases, chemical weapons, and flight sickness, followed by conditioning enhancement cocktails. Then comes implantation of comms and overwatch, mission debriefing and caloric ingestion, measurements for gear,
fitting for gear. Without my name, I am no one. There goes another fresh-faced sacrifice, the veterans think. No, they don't even see me. Their eyes are focused 2 hours from now. I do not matter. I am chaff. Atlas's countdown has begun. You're going to perish. Die in a ball of fire, Pytha says, as one of the four orange techs seals the greaves of the pulse armor around my shins. On either side, hundreds of golds, iron up in fitting bays. I didn't even see this many peerless, scarred, assemble for the defense of Luna against the Rising. It was seen as somewhat of a farce. They don't underestimate the Reaper any longer. But it makes me wonder, if the golds are this scary, how bad has Darrow become? Are you always this familiar with your superiors, Pilot? Kalindora says from the wall. Atalantia has sent her to watch over me in the rain. No, Domina. Kalindora does not buy the formality. I recommend reminding your retainer of her place and yours. She glances at the Tex. This is not the belt. Now, if you will excuse me, I must tend to a pressing matter. If you lose your way to the tubes, just follow the stench of big humans. I'm sorry to see her go. Yet I'm pleased to have a moment alone with Pytha. Bloody terrifying woman, Pytha mutters after her. I think she is sad, rather. Wasn't always. Pytha watches me with unease. It will probably be safer for you to stay in my quarters while I'm away, I suggest. The low colours on the Anihilo are like drones. The mids barely better. There's a hierarchical terror in the very air, one that never existed in the Citadel. Can't believe she's making you do this, Pytha mutters. I volunteered.
You little shit!
Hold, I say to the oranges crawling over me. They don't know who I am, but my caste and Kalindora's presence are enough for them to stop as if controlled by a remote and stand at the edge of the bay adjusting their tools. I glance at the grizzled golds fitting up to either side of me.
Lower your voice, Pytha.
You little shit, she whispers.
If we were on the Archie, I would slap you.
What do you even know about iron reins?
My studies weren't isolated to political theory. It's an understatement.
It's not like a simulator,
her voice has softened. And you glean this from your own extensive experience, I say as I flex my leg, to test the fit of the greaves.
I've been in a rain.
I look up in confusion. I thought you were expelled from the academy.
Snake shit. Before I was a pirate, I was an Equites.
Her chin lifts in pride.
First Decurion, 12th Squadron of the Bellona-like destroyer, Dignitas.
Cassius said...
Cassius didn't want you to know only warriors.
She sighs.
This isn't what he would have wanted for you. Ever since he died, something's woken up in you. A machine in your brain. It's not you. This isn't you. Or have you just always been desperate to be an iron gold?
I nod slowly. I won't lie and say that's not a small part of it. But that's not why I must do this. Gold hasn't changed. If anything, the sickness has metastasized. They uphold the wrong virtues. I lean forward and lower my voice.
If Seraphina dies down there, if Atalantia betrays the Ra, if Darrow wins, mankind will disintegrate.
So what? That's not your burden.
Look around, Pytha. We teeter upon oblivion. Everything humanity has built, all the sacrifices, the hierarchy, the wars, for what?
If gold loses, the Republic will fracture into kingdoms. The kingdoms to fiefdoms, the fiefdoms to tribes. It will become a dark age of fractured planets and war for 300 years.
300 years?
I nod. According to precedents, longer. But I've run the simulation as many times and ways as I know how.
She knows I don't say that lightly. You think this is about me. It isn't. Darrow thinks this is about good and evil. It isn't. This is about order and chaos. I have chosen my side, but to have a voice, I must have a scar.
And you think Cassius was arrogant?
She looks at the ground, shaking her head at some unspoken thought. Eventually she looks up.
Fear.
I beg your pardon?
You think if you gain respect, you'll be able to change them?
Nah,
it's about fear.
You pretend Lorne our Arcos was the picture of an iron gold because he was wise and honourable. She jams a thin thumb into her sternum.
We know the truth. He boarded our ship. Arcos in a corridor was death incarnate. You want to play the big game, fine. But you play to win. You make them fear you.
I am not that man.
Then you're for the worms, Dominus, and I'm out my last friend.
I kneel amongst killers, Seraphina to my left, Kalindora to my right. All is silent but for the children as they perform the blood benediction that has been carried down the generations from Selenius to us. The voices of children drift through the air.
My son, my daughter, now that you bleed, you shall know no fear.
A dozen virgin girls with hair and eyes of milky white walk barefoot through the kneeling legions. Iron daggers are clutched in their hands.
No defeat, only victory.
Blood drips from my hand as a girl drags the blade across it.
Your cowardice seeps from you.
Ajax's eyes are fixed on the floor, his bleeding hand clutched in a fist. Clustered about him are his hungry young friends and the grizzled gold and grey officers of the double-strong 10th Expeditionary Legion, the Terran-born Iron Leopards.
Your rage burns bright.
I feel every tremor of my muscles, every kilogram of my armour, but I do not feel the words.
Rise, children of gold, warriors of earth, and take with you your ancestors' might.
A chill spreads through me as 100,000 legionnaires from the grimmest lands of Africa and the Americas come to their feet. Not a man or woman amongst them has seen their home in over 5 years. They do not know when they will see earth again, but they know their path home goes through the free legions. Kalindora moans as Ajax activates his grav boots and articulates himself into the air.
Here he goes again.
In his storm armor, with its thunderhead shoulders, Ajax looks like Jupiter reborn with snowy teeth and inky skin. He bathes in the roars of his men, as can only a man who thinks himself entitled to worship, yet earned it anyway. Beside me, I see envy creep over Seraphina's face. I feel the human flaw in myself, but I resist its dark waters and allow myself to bathe in my friend's risen stature. He is young wrath manifest.
My brothers, my sisters, my iron leopards, the battle today is to decide the fate of our society. Whether we cave to the tide of anarchy, the despoiling mob,
he points his arm,
or whether we carve our own destiny and build a second age of order upon the bodies of the slave horde. We have shattered their fleet, but soon more ships will come from their infernal restless factories to rescue the slave king and his horde. When they come, what will they find?
Ash. The legion booms. The skin on Seraphina's neck prickles with goosebumps.
Sevro Aubaka, Orion the Aquarii, Cadus Harnassus, Thraxa Autelemanus, Alexander au Arcos, Felix Aldan, Coloe the Char, Darrow of Lycos.
Kalindora fingers the flame-etched hilt of her razor.
These are wanted lives. Bring them to me. Bring them to me. Bring them to me.
The legions roar, and Ajax's dark face splits into a death's head smile. A golem of a gold man takes over. He sighs his simian shoulders back and stomps before the cadres of elite gold knights, smiling like a bulldog chewing a hornet.
We are Legio Ten Pardue. We are the vanguard. Ours is a place of honor. Ante mortem,
he bellows to the golds.
Gloria,
they roar. He wheels on the greys.
Ante mortem, Gloria.
He turns to the obsidians.
Ante mortem, Gloria.
Ajax lands beside the golem. With a man at his hip, he sways over to his clustering officers. They are a crusty, tight-knit breed. Serafina and I are total outsiders. Kalindora, conditionally so. They give us no room near the front except for Kalindora. She declines and stays at my side.
You all know our objective. We're to lend rear guard support to the Votum as they press for Tyche from the east. I'm here to tell you that's all bullshit. Scorpio can fuck off to Tyche on his own.
Through armored shoulders, I see Ajax grin.
We're going to take Heliopolis, my good men.
There are murmurs of excitement, but not from me. Instead, I feel a sinking disappointment. Scorpio, our Votum, was right. Atalantia does want his planet, or parts of it. Serafina glances my way with a sneer.
So this is how Atalantia treats her allies.
Heliopolis is their lone fallback bastion in the south. We take it, they're trapped in the desert.
And Atalantia gets the coveted factories and the mines of the south.
Now the yellows are squawking about weather, but it's Mercury, and our timetable is set in stone, so it may get choppy. Any questions?
Kalindora raises her voice. Atalantia promised Scorpio.
When Atalantia has Heliopolis, she won't need to promise Scorpio anything, Ajax says. Since you are sworn to her, you should welcome that future, love knight.
Kalindora stares gloomily ahead. Meanwhile, the monstrous man beside Ajax glares over at me through slitted eyes.
Who the fuck are you?
Three of his front teeth are missing. That is the least of the cosmetic damage.
That's expensive armor for a pixie wastrel.
Olympic knight business, Kalindora replies. The big man wheels on Serafina.
Who the fuck is she?
Olympic knight business, Seneca, Kalindora says.
He does not look like a Seneca. He looks like a human boar. He winks at Kalindora.
Oi, love. Figure Reaper will be anything but atoms before we get down there.
To avoid you, Seneca, I believe he just might.
The beast chuckles. And Ajax returns to his brief.
Seneca Alsan, Ajax's ducks,
Kalindora whispers, after I quietly inquire about the man. His right hand of authority, then. Probably started as a bodyguard. They often do.
Unremarkable? Except when he goes blood red.
The term is unfamiliar.
Radio code for a red suicide wave.
She looks back to Ajax.
It's really not like anything you've ever seen.
Ajax concludes his brief.
To your shells, good men. We have termites to kill.
As Ajax and I walk to the starshell ladders with Kalindora shadowing from behind, he glances at her in irritation, then clasps my shoulder.
This is what you've been missing, little brother. The greatest show ever staged. But you look like you're about to fall asleep. Not nervous, are you?
He leans forward.
Or are you already in that brain's hole?
The mind's eye, I correct. He knows what it's called. And no, not yet. He laughs.
Stick close down there. If we get separated, try to link up. If you hear wolves, find me. It's no jest. Only a legion accompanying the Slave King is permitted the howl. If you hear it, he's coming. I've seen that man carve through a platoon of Ashguard like a shark through tuna. You'll want me there.
Will he be in Heliopolis?
No, he says in disappointment. But fate is not without a sense of humour. Where the din of battle is the loudest, he will come. And today I plan on making such noise.
He steps close to me.
We will avenge our family together, then sort the rest of this shit out. Hear?
Thank you, I say, for letting me... He smacks my head.
You're not forgiven yet, Pixie. But what you do today will make them forget all the rest. Let's have you return properly.
He puts his head to mine, as we did as children before walking the line.
The blood of giants fills our veins. Honour the valiant dead with your deeds.
Honour the living with your might, I recite. He departs. Seraphina stands at the foot of her own ladder, eclipsed by her grimace-painted starshell. Tex mill around its feet, making last-minute adjustments. She spits on the Death's Head sigil and examines the traction claws on the starshell. Good fortune down there, I say to her. She checks the hydraulics in the knees. Keep your fortune. Every scar I have earned has led me here. This war is my destiny. She turns. Cheer up, Gaja. The courage of a soldier is heightened by her knowledge of her profession. She looks me up and down. Go do your duty. I suspected it before, but I feel it now as I see the excitement on her face as she turns back to the war machine. She didn't betray her father because she loves her mother. There was another, hidden reason, which was the source of the guilt I saw in her eyes as she watched Romulus walk to his death. It is the source of the anger she feels toward him, toward me. Anger that should be for herself, because deep down she knows that it wasn't loyalty to the Rim or her mother that incited her to ferry evidence of Darrow's crimes against the Rim back to the Council. It was her hunger for war. Now, after weeks of starvation, she is about to be fed.
Chapter 9. Darrow. Angelia. The Fear Knight is a sadist. Unlike the vain goals of the Corps, he appreciates guerrilla warfare and its effect on armies. Though I met him only once in my days of service to Nero, I saw enough in him to know he put no stock in glory. When I squeezed his hand, eager to impress my strength on what then would have been a superior of stratospheric heights, he let his go limp. It embarrassed me. Little did I know then that the one plain-dressed man would someday skin, melt, castrate, rape, blind, and mutilate my legionnaires by the thousands. Atlas's reputation was meager before the start of the Solar War. He was known primarily for three things: his patronage of the Great Library of Delphi, his inglorious position as a ward of the Sovereign, and his abrupt disappearance, one that was clarified when he returned after the fall of Earth from nearly a decade of banishment, fighting threats at the edge of the system. Born after the failed First Moon Lord's Rebellion, he was raised on Io with his more famous brother, Romulus. When he turned 10, his parents said their farewells and sent him to Luna to live in the court of the Sovereign as yet another noble hostage to ensure the Rim's obedience. Amongst the core goals, he was privileged and educated, yet derided for being the spawn of a traitor. It was there he met Atalantia, and there that Octavia made him an extension of her will, turning him against his traitor family and planting the seeds that would make him into the man behind the pale mask. Of all my enemies, I loathe him the most. We stand before his newest forest of corpses. Bodies hang impaled on vertical poles. There are more than 200. each with the fear brand on their bare chests, a fleshy wound in the shape of a child's face ringed with hair of serpents. A grisly promenade strewn with Republic flags leads through the impaled bodies to Angelia. The white fabric of flags is tattered and fouled with boot prints and blood. It will be booby-trapped. I look at the bodies, at their faces. This is why I left Luna. Those glossy peacocks in the Senate read our reports. But the further you are away from it, the more war reads like arithmetic. And past that, it reads like fiction. Past that, it's just an annoying video on your info stream. How could they possibly imagine the anguish on the faces of the dead? How could the mob in the street demanding handouts ever know on a sensory level that when a human rots, it isn't just the skin that stinks, but the intestines, the stomach, the liver? How could they know that weird tremble of the soul when you realize there is no civilization? There's just a lock on a box, and inside the box is this. Virginia wanted me to reason with the senators. What common language would we speak, I wonder, when they have not seen inside the box, and I am its lock? It drives me fucking mad that they refuse to understand how sick and dogged and obsessed with our destruction our enemies are. Yet they live in a fantasy built on the bodies of my friends. The chatter of the carrion birds serrates the air, along with the cries of the dying. Of the impaled soldiers, many still live, writhing like worms on a hook. Our four obsidians stare up at the bodies and make a sign to their gods. The horror reaches deepest into the heart of Alexander and pulls him forward. Arcos, heels down, I bark. He stops, but turns to me, face ghostly vacant. They're still alive. And they're all booby-trapped, I say, though he knows it. Rona swallows as she watches Alexander blink at the result of his error. Fall asleep in the Ladon, you wake up to this. I walk up to him. We all carry weight. I need you to carry this. Can you? The eyes of his grandfather blink back at me as the impaled cry for help. Yes, sir. Goodman. I turn back to the howlers. They stand in a ragged line. Colloway brings the necromancer in for fire support. It's theatrics. He's buying time to distract us from his objective, I tell them. We can't help them. Go to air, packs of three. Use your thermals and sensors to scan for traps. Walk fast but soft, and for Jove's sake, keep your chrome in. I need your eyes. I designate the teams to search potential targets. Dust billows as nearly 20 of howlers jolt upward over their writhing comrades to disperse through the city. I wait behind with Thraxa and Felix. I raise my voice so the impaled can hear me. How many of you saw gorgons around your feet? Raise your right hand. A sea of right hands. Some lie and keep theirs down. Could be a false positive. Atlas might have booby-trapped none of them. Or all of them. You may be booby-trapped, I say. Medships are on the way. Hold out for them, and soon it'll be 6 weeks of pretty medici and ice frisee. We'll be back. I cast a dour look to Thrax and Felix, and we lift off for the city's communication center. I shoot a hole in the bronze dome with my pulse fist, scan, and drop through to the marble floor. As sunlight washes in through the open door, we see them. Bodies strewn on the floor, ripped apart and chewed up. Heads caved in with all manner of improvised weapons. Bodies chewed upon as if by animals. Atlas didn't do this. They butchered one another. The features of the dead are mottled and monstrously warped by some pathogen. Gods, what did Atalantia's warlocks cook up now? They were collaborator civilians we relocated to Angelia, far from any military facility. Put them out of harm's way, I said. If Severo had been there, he would have laughed. Where do you put a chicken shit officer if you need him to expire? He once asked me. Out of harm's way! Pax was out of harm's way, too. You ever seen anything like this? I ask Thraxa. She shakes her head. Maybe he was testing a new bioweapon. There are easier ways. I bark at my medikai to take a sample and evac to Necromancer for transmission. Central Command needs to know. I start to laugh as I realize the game. It's all to buy time. Puzzles and pain. I look around. The facts don't add up. What is he buying time for? We could get an airdrop and catch up to him, so it wasn't to extend his lead. Eleusis was ripe for the picking. How does this side trip change the board? Thunder peals to the north. My storm is slowly forming. Halo One, Alexander says in my earcom. We've got something at the ore refinery. Alexander, Rona, and several Howlers are gathered in the control room of the city's ore refinery when Thraxa and I join them. Disabled spider mines and microwave bombs lie on a table. Marbles, our green slicer and clown's best friend, is jacked into the central computer's input port. A worn black hardwire runs from the computer's port to a small port on his right temple. His eyes roll back in his head as he travels through a virtual landscape. His fingers tap on the plastic chair. After a moment, he sighs. His dry lips smack together, and he reverts. Some nasty foul dark pot, he says in staccato silicon slang, skipping past the words that make sentences intelligible to us carbon bodies, so that it sounds like his mouth is full of marbles. Rickety road, slip package, uranium dance. Destinations easy as 011-00001, 011-00010, 011-00011. He stutters the numbers out like a garment needle. Alexander, translate. Quick with low and mid tongues, Alexander steps forward. No, Marble says, holding up a bony finger. The dark circles under his eyes war with his sunburn. I do this time. See, boss, like this. Angelia, dusty-ass work town. Systems all in a web. Redundancy protocol to keep hard grip. We cut web in rain. Didn't cut shadow web. There are latent systems? Alexander asks, first to understand. Old hard lines? Hard lines? Thraxa looks amused. What dullard missed? Quiet, I snap. Marbles, you telling me the mining cities are still connected? Only some. Old system. Someone slagged it good. Missed shadow somehow. Stupid analog, most like. Hard lines under the pan. So he sent a command to other mining cities via this console, I clarify. Yeah. What did he send? Thraxa asks. Nulls. Dunno. Mad encryption. Got slices with Gorgons, right? Slick pricks. He taps his head. Give this silicon a week, plus 3 clicks for sleep, and I got your answer. There's only one message worth sending to the other cities. My gut sinks. Rona pieces it together. Could they send signals to the other reactors? Give me diagnostics on the mine's reactor, Thraxa says. Marbles turns to the computer just as I jerk the hardwire away from him. As soon as he checked the reactor, I've no doubt a neurological attack would fry his brain to jelly. Trap. After trap after trap. He's going to overload this reactor and any connected by hardwire, I explain, and head for the door. It's going thermal. Angelia doesn't matter, but the city's its hardwire to will. Those reactors are what fuel our shield chain. I open my general frequency. All Howlers, evacuate the city. Buddy flights if you don't got boots. Colloway, bring the Necro for airhook. By the time I make it out the door of the refinery, half the Howlers are already airborne. Those with grav boots lock the magnetic buddy belts around their waists to the Howlers without them. They take off. Rona and Thraxa are the last pair away. Alexander waits for me. I turn around so he can link the metal coupling at his waist to the one at my tailbone. The magnets snap together. He wraps his arms around my shoulders and pats my chest. I lift off hard from the ground, my gut wrenching as the boots thrust us up till we're free of the city. Overhead, Colloway is scooping howlers into his shuttle's open garage. Alexander and I land smoothly and decouple. I look down at the city and shout for Colloway to get us clear. The logic is sinister. That forest of bodies and biological weapons were meant to bring medical and science teams, to slow us down as we patched our wounded and scratched our heads, focusing on the small game instead of the grand stage. The first explosion at Angelia's nuclear power plant, caused by the meltdown of its reactor, is not like that of an atomic warhead. It stutters outward from the domed building, first as steam, then as fire, lifting the roof of the complex and engulfing the city in a rolling wave. Those impaled soldiers disappear in a cloud, their flesh melted from their bones by the steam, and the rest consumed by the slow rippling tide of fire. I will see you in the Vale, brothers. I patch into Central Command in Tyche. Panic creeps into the professional clip of officers as they report multiple reactor explosions around the waist of Ladon, stretching all the way to the Petassos Peninsula and the whole of the plains of Caduceus. 6 cities have lost power. More will follow in a chain reaction.